Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This is The Red Line, where we interview three geopolitical experts on one big issue shaping the news both here and overseas. And I'm your host, Michael Hilliard. In the modern era of geopolitics, everything is changing so quickly, with political stances on things like Russia, NATO, and rearmament completely unrecognizable from where they were just a few short years ago. However, through all of that, San Marino, a small European micronation nestled in the mountains of Italy, remains virtually unchanged in its geopolitics, still even using the same constitution penned in the 1600s. However, by a virtue of San Marino being so small and steady in its geopolitics, an incredibly complex and troubling situation has flown under the radar of most geopolitical analysts. And now, there is a troubling legal situation brewing on the Italian peninsula, with one nation possibly preparing for aggressive conquest, while the other remains blissfully unaware of the chaos about to unfold on their borders. So this week, we take a deep dive into the complex geopolitical situation currently unfolding between Italy and the European microstate of San Marino, how this is likely to have larger impacts on the geopolitics of Europe, and the troubling facts that most international lawyers completely missed. And to help us unpack the situation at hand, we turn to our first guest.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Part 1. Booting. The boot.
Well, I think there's several reasons why we might be seeing San Marino making this sort of step. One, of course, we've got to frame it in the context of what we're seeing in Ukraine, and there's clearly been a push towards European unity in all sorts of different ways. So, I mean, of course, we've seen Sweden and Finland join NATO, which was a huge step, but also we've seen a whole raft of countries want to join the European Union.
James Kerr Lindsay is a visiting professor at the London School of Economics, with his research focusing on conflict, peace and security in Southeast Europe, as well as EU enlargement and the recognition of international politics. James has an extensive list of publications to his name, including over a dozen authored and edited books, and the amazing geopolitical YouTube channel, Prof. James Kerr Lindsay. So, we're thrilled to have him back on the program today.
San Marino is quite seriously looking at joining the European Union. But what I think is really interesting, of course, is that what we're seeing is a slightly unusual approach to it, because usually the way that the country would join the European Union is that it would say, well, we want to accede, we want to become members, and there would be quite a tough process of screening and everything like that. I think we can safely say that San Marino would actually be fairly integrated already, so it would be a lot less onerous than, for example, Georgia.
Saying that, though, there are lots of countries trying to join the EU at the moment. So what is it about San Marino's plans that make you so worried?
But what I think is really, really interesting about this report is this idea that what it's planning on doing is a backdoor route, if you like, to EU membership by saying, well, let's unite with Italy. And of course, you know, this is a strange historical anomaly that it was never incorporated into Italy. Neither was the Vatican, of course. But San Marino sort of sits in this really, really odd position. So perhaps there is this chance to negotiate with Italy. And this also, by the way, wouldn't be the first or the only time that we're talking about this. I mean, you know, this is something that has also been brought up in the context of Moldova and Romania. You know, this is a really interesting story and certainly one that I think we should all be taking a little bit of notice of.
However, from what I understand, one of the big sticking points in this is the defense agreements, particularly because of the age of a lot of the agreements in place between San Marino and Italy. Now, we'll put aside the complication factors that come from Italy being a member of NATO and San Marino not for the moment, and start by looking at the question of how these two militaries would look to integrate in with one another, as both of these states do already have highly professional and highly capable militaries, militaries that have fought against each other in the past. So if this merger between the two countries were to take place, who would likely take control of the combined army? Would San Marino take control of Italy's troops, or would Italy take control of San Marino's?
Well, I mean, there's actually a really interesting debate to be had here because there are all sorts of issues that have to be negotiated. So it wouldn't just be about the military, it'd be about the political system. How do you fold San Marino back into or into the Italian political system? Or would it be the other way around, of course? Because I think what we would see is actual fact. There's an interesting argument that San Marino would make is that it's the far older party in all of this. Italy is a far newer state. And that, in fact, if we were to be talking about a union, then perhaps it would actually work the other way around, that it wouldn't be San Marino joining Italy. It would be Italy joining San Marino. And that would open up a whole different set of legal questions.
With one of those key legal questions being the fact that right now, according to the San Marino Constitution, the Italians, by law, would have to come to the aid of San Marino if San Marino were ever finding itself under attack. But the Constitution is not written the other way around, meaning San Marino does not have to come to the aid of Italy if Italy comes under attack, which has worked out mostly fine in the past. But if these two were to end up in a conflict between the two of them, as the convention's written, it would appear that the Italians would then have to, by law, declare war on themselves, which again raises questions about Article 5 and NATO. Now, is this all just legal mumbo-jumbo, or a very serious consideration that would come into play if these two states ever entered into a conflict with each other?
Obviously, if we saw tensions erupt between the two of them, then this would be a real head-scratcher. You know, the NATO element would be fascinating. I mean, Italy being a guarantor of San Marino and its defense, and then San Marino goes to war with Italy. Is this an Article 5? This would have NATO lawyers, I think, sort of really going round in all sorts of things to try and sort of pick apart the dimensions of this. I wouldn't even know where to start in trying to pick that one apart.
Now, from what I can see, a lot of the mainstream press and analysis always tends to ignore San Marino's military capacity. But when you actually take a much closer look at the nation's military forces, you actually find that there is a lot more there than most people probably realize. For example, San Marino still maintains an incredibly professional and incredibly accurate crossbow corps, which is not only self-sufficient for ammunition production, but has also undergone centuries of training on this exact type of weapon. Now, when we contrast that with the Italians' military, whose crossbow corps is almost entirely amateur, we might start to see where some of the concerns for the Italian military might lie. If defense planners in Rome are concerned that there is a war on the cards between Italy and San Marino, do you think there may be considerations that the Italian military may not have the right equipment to counter these types of forces, with Italy having focused far too much on things like new submarines and jet fighters rather than any sort of decent long-term siege equipment?
No, and absolutely right. This is really something I think that NATO and the Italians should have been sort of paying far more attention to. I mean, you know, there is a phenomenal history of training, and you're right. I mean, the crossbow, we sort of look down at it as this sort of medieval weapon. But, you know, these things, along with the longbows, of course, which were the super weapon of the Middle Ages, you know, we've obviously taken technology in a very different direction these days. But, you know, I think that this would potentially pose some very real problems if push were to come to shove on this.
And this problem goes much deeper than many might first assume. For instance, right now, the Italians have become incredibly reliant on the Sparta 2000 ground-based surface-to-air missile system for their air defense needs. But have those systems actually been tested against crossbow bolts?
This just would be absolutely beyond the capabilities, one would imagine, of these sorts of systems. If those San Marino crossbowmen were to really get into their stride, I think the amount that they would be delivering would be terrifying. One could definitely see that this would be potentially a very, very serious problem that they would have to encounter.
Now, there are some out there who are still slightly skeptical of San Marino's military capabilities. wrongly assuming that the state hasn't fought a war in a very long time. But what most people forget is that San Marino actually fought quite recently during the Second World War. In fact, when the Germans declared war on San Marino on the 13th of December 1944, at that point the Germans were still successfully holding off the Americans, the British, the French, and even the Soviets. But once the Germans had made the mistake of declaring war on San Marino, and San Marino was able to unleash its military force upon the conflict, it actually ended up making a major contribution to the course of the war. So can you take us through how San Marino might have impacted the final outcome of the conflict?
There would be certain body of opinion that would say, yes, it was San Marino's decision to enter the war that really did help shift the balance on this. It had been tough fighting over in the east. The Soviets were certainly making their advances, and then we had the D-Day landings. But when you factor in then that San Marino decided that it was going to enter the fray, they aren't given the credit that they're duly worth.
Oh, absolutely. San Marino gets hardly any of the credit that it really deserves. As what most people, I think, forget is that by that point in the Second World War, that conflict had already been raging for 1930 days. And yet, San Marino enters the war, and within a mere 145 days, Germany had completely surrendered. A complete change in German policy to the previous 1930 days of war. So I definitely think we can't write off the military prowess of San Marino anytime soon. Particularly when we also factor in this next part as well. You see, one of the advantages of being such an old state is that a lot of these older treaties are still there in place, including one where San Marino, as part of the deal for adopting the Italian currency and customs union, has a binding and ongoing agreement with the Italians that Italy must provide San Marino with an annual stipend, with that stipend including 250 tons of sea salt, 40 tons of tobacco, 20 tons of cigarettes, and most crucially, an unlimited amount of matches. Now, with access to infinity matches, what sort of damage do you think an expansionist San Marino could do?
I mean, seriously, the imagination is the limit when you are presented with an infinity amount of matches. We can all remember back as to, you know, kids playing with matches. You know, you just imagine you've got a whole country has got this arsenal at their fingertips. This would be a whole new level of asymmetrical warfare that we would be talking about.
So even though San Marino does obviously pose a significant threat to the Italian state, for some reason, Italy has made the foolish decision to not deploy any of its forces along the border with San Marino, which for NATO, who's invested in the defense of Italy, is actually incredibly worrying when you start to consider the short distance between San Marino and Rome. Now, as an example, if we take a look at the Italians' conventional 54-ton main battle tank, the Ariete, the tank is not only incredibly bulky and slow, but also has a much lower operational range than what the San Marino military has access to. You see, in contrast, the modern 2023 Subaru Forester, currently acting as the spearhead of the San Marino Armored Corps, is not only equipped with power windows, power steering, a 6-stacker CD player, and integrated Bluetooth, but also has a faster top speed and operational range than the Ariete tank, placing the Subaru Foresters within blitzkrieg distance of Rome. Now, if we start to take into account these egregious shortfalls in the Italian tank's capabilities, like not having integrated 6-stacker CD players, do you think it does open the door for a rapid capture of Rome and the Italian government on day one of San Marino's offensive against Italy?
Absolutely. We know that modern warfare has been saved by being able to be fast. You just see those San Marinos jumping those Foresters and watch how fast they go. You know, much more maneuverable, faster, sleeker, you know, and armed with those matches and various other goodies that I'm sure they've got tucked. And of course, with the crossbowmen sort of, you know, strapped to the roof of those Subarus, you know, you watch it. I think they would certainly give the Italian armed forces a run for the money. And if they get into their stride, I think this could certainly be a very, very dangerous conflict to watch out for.
Now, James, I don't want to cause a panic here within our audience, but I think we should address the elephant in the room. When was the last time that San Marino was inspected by the IAEA for nuclear weapons?
You know, I don't think that it has. It would be really, really interesting to actually try and look up that data as to whether there has been an inspection. But, you know, now that you bring it up, it would certainly be something that one should certainly, you know, no country uninspected. That has to be the motto of the IAEA. Has to be. No country uninspected. And that would include San Marino.
So you're saying that without these inspections, there's a chance that there could be hundreds, if not thousands, or even millions of ICBMs hidden under the fortresses of San Marino. We might not even be aware of it.
It's mountainous. You never know.
I mean, to me, this sounds like we're witnessing the greatest intelligence failure known to man. That with San Marino expertly wielding all of these matches, their crossbow corps, and these Subaru Foresters, equipped with Bluetooth, power windows, power steering, and a 6-stack of CD player, as well as this possible huge arsenal of ICBMs, frankly, I think it's safe to assume that the conquering of the Italian peninsula is all but inevitable. So I guess the question is then, that once San Marino does conquer Italy, will that actually be enough for San Marino? Or should the rest of Europe all be preparing for their day to bow before their San Marino masters?
Let's hope cooler heads prevail and the UN SecGen can put a halt to this before we get to that, frankly, scary, scary scenario.
The crossbows strapped to the bruise, I swear to God, almost lost at that point.
I hope that one worked.
So hopefully by now you've checked the date and realized that this episode is our April Fool's episode. And that frankly, the threat posed by San Marino might be somewhat exaggerated. But regardless of which, I want to give a massive thanks to James Kerr Lindsay for jumping on this one and being a part of it. He was such an amazing good sport, and I don't know how he was able to maintain a straight face for most of the time when we were recording this. And as well as James, I want to thank my staff, who actually took the time to research the capabilities of the San Marino forces to make sure that we could actually keep our facts straight in this one. But regardless, this episode was just a bit of a bonus for April Fools, and if you enjoyed it, hopefully we can turn it into a yearly tradition. In the meantime, though, the real show will be back in a week with a brand new episode. But until then, as always, thank you for listening. A good night.
The views and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Michael, our guests, and the Redline Podcast. They do not represent any government or organization and are solely our own. For more information, please visit theredlinepodcast.com.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.